Welcome to the Music Therapy Roundtable Podcast. We are your hosts, Rachel Rambach,
Michelle Erford,
Matt Logan,
and Kimberly Senna Moore.
We are four board-certified music therapists with a mission to empower you to take charge of your personal and professional growth. Join us each month as we talk shop and share stories, tips, and ideas about music therapy. Thanks for stopping by.
So it's January, and with this new year, there are a bunch of us that have some new and exciting things that are happening. Am I right?
You're right.
I'm right. Yes. I know. So, Rachel, do you want to share some of the, I feel like every month you have something new and exciting to share recently. So do you want to continue that?
Absolutely. Well, last month I announced that I was expecting a baby this spring and also that I was getting ready to move. So since our last recording, we moved 3 days after Christmas. So you can imagine that whirlwind of the holidays. So we're into our new house now. We love it. We're so happy. And the even more exciting news is that we found out we're having a girl.
Hooray! Yay! Congratulations!
Thank you. Yeah, we're super excited. So now Parker, my 18-month-old son, is going to have a sister.
And I can tell you the whole boy-girl thing's a pretty combination. And it's actually, okay, so it is fun, but it's also fascinating to notice the differences just from the, you know, the different chromosome.
Yes. I am very much looking forward to how they differ and their similarities as they grow up. So that should be a lot of fun.
It's really, it's interesting.
It is fun.
So I have some exciting things that have happened too. And I shared it with you all before we started recording, but, I submitted my dissertation this week.
Woohoo!
Yay! Nice.
Yay! So it's to, when I say I submitted it, I'm actually not done yet. I'll likely have some revisions, but it is, the entire thing is on paper. It's going to be like 275 pages long. and it's my committee chairs are reviewing it, and I'll hear back from them and then send it to my committee, and I'm working on scheduling the defense. So here's hoping that in either late February or early April, I will be completely finished.
That is so exciting. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so cool, Kimberly, that you shared way back when you decided to go to school for your PhD, you shared that on the podcast and you've kind of updated us and our listeners all the way through the process. So now we're at the finish line.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I feel like we wrote it with you. I mean, not really, but in the most easy way possible.
Well, you all have been a part of this process. Well, and it's interesting you say that, Rachel, because I think we can say that for all of us in our...
That's true.
You know, we've had this podcast. Wow. Is next month 5 years?
5 years. 5 years.
Oh, yeah. So in 5 years, I mean, think of how much has changed for all of us.
Really? I know.
It's kind of cool. Oh, we may have to talk about that next month. I don't know. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, shall we go ahead and jump? Before we jump into our feature segment, Matt and Michelle, do you have anything? I don't know.
Not really for me.
No, we're boring. No. I guess I've got a small thing. I have finally made some progress on my website, MT Guitar Coach, which I think, Michelle, you'll be happy to hear this. Yes. You've been pushing me for a long time. And I released a second ebook, which is all about bar chords. And it's a bar chord technique guide, and there's some videos that go along with it. And it's, I think, probably a stepping stone to a larger instructional product. But check it out at mtguitarcoach.com. I don't know. Is it okay to plug in this section?
Yes. Of course.
I just made a note to add that link to our show notes.
Oh, cool. Thanks. So,
absolutely. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you.
Hard to be self-motivated sometimes to actually sit down and do it.
It is.
That's awesome. That's awesome. How about you, Michelle?
Well, I can't say that anything is exciting for me, but that's like, that is actually the exciting thing for me. Like, I feel like I'm embracing 15, like I always do every new year, I get real crazy about reorganizing and making a resolution. And my resolution this year is just consistency and following through with things that I want to follow through with. And so far, so good. You know, I'm on day 10 and I'm just really happy that I'm completing things, even though it's just little stuff, but it feels really good. So that's what's going on with me.
That's fantastic. Well, and to be able to find something that works for you.
Yeah, I think that was that. Speaking of challenges, well,
I know
foreshadowing that, into challenges.
That'd be perfect transition.
That is my challenge. A lot of in life is being consistent and just finding an even keel where I feel feel personally challenged, but still be motivated to keep going on. So this year it's going pretty well. So and I'm thankful for that. And everything. But so going on, we have, speaking of the new year, you know, it's January, so it's our favorite time of on the music therapy calendar, aside from conference, it's Social Media Advocacy Month. Right, Kimberly?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So let's jump on in. January marks Social Media Advocacy Month in the music therapy community. Throughout the month, music therapy bloggers and podcasters like us band together to talk about music therapy, advocacy, and the importance of being a music therapy advocate. This year's Social Media Advocacy Month theme is Revision. It has multiple meanings, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but generally centers on the idea of transforming challenges into advocacy opportunities. In this episode 62 of the Music Therapy Roundtable podcast, we'll talk about that idea through sharing our own experiences of turning challenges to opportunities. Then we'll end with some information about a pretty significant change, speaking of changes and developments here, a pretty significant change to happen for the music therapy profession, the creation of a scope of music therapy practice. So let's talk first about describing this year's Social Media Advocacy Month theme, which is Revision, which sounds like, you know, revision, like you're revising, I don't know, a dissertation, but it's spelled differently, right? So I had to throw that in. It's spelled differently. It's R-E as in like the subject heading about colon and then vision in capital letters. So with the multiple meetings, I mean, this theme is about a vision, and when it comes to turning challenges to opportunities, it's about keeping the opportunities, keeping that vision, that positive focus always in your mind. You know, when say you have a business or you're working on developing a program, it's akin to having your mission statement in mind. Or there are some people who say you should have your own personal mission statement. It gives you something to hold on to, and it provides kind of that guiding light for you in moving forward. So this is about a vision. This is also, vision is capitalized because it's an acronym that stands for value and imagine success, and also invest in opportunities now. So value, V for value, I for imagine, S for success, I invest, O opportunities, and N now. And these are some concepts that relate to this idea of turning challenges to opportunities. And finally, the other meaning is like revision, like you're revising a paper. And that's what we did when we go and talk about the scope of music therapy practice that was recently launched. It's about revising, at least with our profession, how we define it and how we describe it and how we identify ourselves as a unique and standalone profession. So that one little word, a lot of thought actually went mm-hmm. into.
Yeah, you can tell. Yeah. Who came up with that? Was that just a collaborative CBMT thing, or
it was collaborative? Judy Simpson, who's the director of government relations for AMTA, and Dina Register, who is the regulatory affairs associate for CBMT, and myself, and I'm the regulatory affairs. No, Dean is the regulatory affairs advisor. I'm the regulatory affairs associate for CBMT. This very wordy titles. Gotcha. The three of us, we try to get together a couple of about two or three times a year to strategize and plan for the upcoming months in terms of the state recognition plan. And we met in December in Baltimore and talked about Social Media Advocacy Month. And we kind of take a look at what's happening when it comes to the plan. And the creation of this scope of practice was a really prime focus of ours this year. It was a pretty big deal. And so this concept, this theme emerged from that process, but also when we talk and train other music therapists on advocacy, a lot of what we talk about is related to this theme of you have this challenge, it's an educational opportunity. You know, you get called the musical therapist or the guitar lady or, you know, something like that. And instead of getting defensive, you view it as a chance to teach one more person about what we do. So, yeah, it was a collaborative. That was a very long answer to your question, Matt. it was a collaborative effort.
I see.
Yes. So some of what we're asking and inviting the bloggers and the podcasters to do is to talk about, I mean, we all have experiences in our personal and professional lives of turning, you know, having a challenge and then you reframe or you refocus or you flip it into an opportunity. So what are some examples from that you all have of when you did this, either again personally or professionally?
Well, I have a general example that I'd like to share. And it's funny that you mention being called the guitar lady and the musical therapist and all of those titles, music teacher, all of these things were names that I was called when I first started working as a music therapist here in Springfield, because I was the first and only one. So there had never been music therapy, you know, as a full-time service here in my city, which is surprising. And I know I've mentioned this in the past, but there are several universities less than an hour away that offer music therapy degrees, and yet there haven't been any to land in Springfield. So I really had to face that challenge head on of explaining what music therapy is all about, and also convincing people that it was something that would be beneficial to them and to their facilities. So I did that at the school where I started a new program. I did that at the autism program where I started another program, and then also through my private practice. And I'm thrilled to say that now, you know, there are still music therapy services being offered in those places while I've been able to grow my private practice and expand it. And it's amazing that music therapy now is known throughout the community, and people call me and say, hey, we know about what you do, and we'd like to, you know, we'd like our daughter, our son, or whoever to receive your services because we know how effective music therapy is. And so that's been a challenge that I think it will always be an ongoing challenge, but to see that progress happen over these last 7 years or so has been really exciting.
Well, and I got to say, Rachel, I mean, first of all, I have always been and continue to be in awe of what you've done in growing your practice in Springfield. Mm-hmm. I just...
Oh, well, thank you.
Yes. I mean, you have brought music therapy to that city. Now there are multiple music therapists working there. I think it's fantastic.
Thank you.
Do you find that more people, I mean, in addition to people calling to say, hey, we heard about music therapy, we think this would be great for our son or daughter, do you find more people are just more generally aware of it too in your community?
I think so, yeah. And one way that I see this is... my practice in my teaching studio as well is now located inside of a music store here in Springfield. And they love to bring customers and people interested in lessons or services or what have you. They love to bring people to our studios and say, these are music therapists and this is what they do. And it's so cool to see people recognize music therapy and say, oh yes, I've heard about music therapy. And that's so wonderful that we have this here in Springfield. And so, you know, I'm not having to start from scratch with explaining what we do every single time and to every single person.
Yeah, that's awesome. I bet a lot of people can relate to that feeling of being alone in their town or wherever they end up. I mean, I know there are some hubs of music therapy. You know, there's some towns that have really thriving music therapy communities, but you know, there are 6,000 board certified music therapists. Is that about right, Kimberly?
You are spot on, actually. We just crossed 6,000 a couple months ago.
Yeah. Wow.
And there are how many towns and cities in the United
exactly.
States?
Exactly.
What is the population?
Yeah, exactly. So I am sure there are many who can look at what you've done and relate or aspire to do something similar. So it's really impressive.
I can't tell you how many people I've had contact me through my blog and through my website and say, hey, I'm in the same boat. You know, I'm trying to start this practice and I live in, you know, rural Minnesota or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And so I think, yeah, that kind of gives some inspiration that, hey, yes, it can happen no matter where you live and no matter how few music therapists are there or how many, you know, people are completely unaware of what music therapy is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I still aspire to that, Rachel.
No. I think I still have a long way to go, but I'm happy about the progress that I've made.
That's right. You got that vision.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
That's right.
That was pretty corny. Sorry. So what about Matt or Michelle?
Well, I can provide an example, I guess. And this one comes to mind just because a copy of my Lullaby CD is sitting on my desk and I'm kind of reminiscing about all the challenges that I encountered while creating this product. And it was, you said something really important, Kimberly, about viewing challenges as an opportunity to learn and to grow. And that's how I approached the whole thing. So I had to do all the research to learn how to create the CD, what would be best for infants. And then, the whole, process of recording and, mixing the music, the production aspect of it, and then getting the artwork into the specific format and then creating a website and trying to create payment, processes for that. It was just so many opportunities to learn along the way, and it was a huge project, and there were just a number of challenges along the way, but in the end I learned so many things that have been applicable in other situations. So that's my brief story, I guess.
So I have a question. I mean, we're talking about all of this with the benefit of hindsight, and so we're talking about it in this very positive way, and you know, feeling good about it and looking at the growth opportunities, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But it's not always easy to get there. You know, sometimes I can't quite verbalize it. Can you help me out?
Well, there have been, I can't think of anything specific now, but there have been things that I've done where, like, maybe it was a project or something that I was really excited about. I spent a lot of time on. I was so excited. Then it goes public, and I wouldn't say it bombed, but it just wasn't what I thought it could be. Oh, here's an example. Or for Music Resource. Do you remember that? No? Okay.
I do. I remember.
Well, that's that website I made because I was thinking about, I wanted to do some kind of hub that was like a central marketplace where music therapists could buy stuff. And I it was really cool. I just couldn't make it worth my while. Like, I couldn't make any money off of it, so I couldn't keep doing it because I was doing other things too. And I look back at that and I don't regret the time. I spent a lot of time on that website and doing, I had a couple booths at the conferences, And I spent a lot of time doing that stuff, and I learned a lot, and I talked to a lot of people, and which was what I'm good at, because I like networking. And I don't regret all the time that I spent, and I do think it was a failure, but I don't mean that in a negative way. Initially, when I was going through all that, when I was realized this is needs to stop, this is madness, I'm not getting anything out of it, it was a bummer to me, and I was like really bummed. But now I'm like, wow, that was a failure, but I'm cool with it now. And I really learned a lot. I made a lot of great connections and kept chugging along. And I, you know, more opportunities definitely came out of that. I think one of the reasons why when I go to conference, people know who I am is because I did something like that, even though they might not necessarily know I did that. I think that's what has given me a reputation in the music therapy field as being somewhat a music therapist who's online. But I think it was a big failure, but I'm okay with that.
But Michelle, look at it this way. That was almost like a precursor to your latest project, Music yeah. Therapy eBooks, because you are a hub yeah. to other music therapists yes. and their resources.
Exactly. And that's why the Music Therapy eBooks website was so exciting to me, because it was like, oh, that was it. That was the thing I wanted to make, you know, and I couldn't have made Music Therapy eBooks without Rachel C, you know, because she's my partner with that. You know, I couldn't do it on my own initially, because I just couldn't wrap my head around it and get it straight. But when I finally made the right connection, then I could do it. You know, it all adds up. It's all that cumulative effect. Remember when we were in school and we had cumulative tests and we hated it? Like, now as an adult, I love it.
I give them to my students. There's a reason you do it.
Well, they hate it.
There's a good reason to do it from a learning standpoint, but that's a different conversation. Go ahead.
But now I love the cumulative effect, you know, like it's what makes yeah. me better and makes all of us better.
Thank yeah, you.
I think you said something. Michelle, I think you said something really important. It's that you are okay with the failure. And, you know, we can become really averse to failure, but it reminds me of a quote by he was a CEO at IBM. He said, if you want to increase your success rate, double your failure rate, just because we learn so much through our failures. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really important to acknowledge.
Like,
so go out and fail, everybody. Yep,
let's go fail. Let's all be failures.
I was just thinking, my son, you know, they send home homework or like tests that the kids take periodically that you can look over. And so I received this huge packet just to look over, a sign that I had seen it. I'm looking through. He's, you know, does really well, missing zero, missing, you know, one, couple B's, mostly A's, and then there's an F. And, you know, on this particular test, and I look at it and he had just completely skipped an entire page. He just didn't fill it out. And so that was a learning opportunity for him to answer all the questions in the test. So there you go, even from a second grader. I don't think that's quite what you meant, but that's what I thought of. He got an F on a test. Now everybody knows.
He's going, thanks, Mom.
Thanks, yeah, right. Mom. Now it's on the internet.
Luckily, he doesn't listen to this, so that's good.
So, Kimberly, well, in the beginning, yeah. you talked about the scope of practice, the music therapy scope of practice, and how it has changed. I knew in conference there was a big vote and this whole thing, and it was a big deal, but I never really understood what that meant or even what it was, what the changes are. And now you're reminding me that I want to figure that out and share with everyone, like, hey, this is what this means, because I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one. But we can do that now. So, Kimberly.
That's right. Can you tell me about that? Yeah, of course. So, I mean, this is this creation, this document that is now launched and will very, very soon be made available. As soon as we get the form finished, it's going to be on the websites. But it is the result, again, of this idea of turning a challenge into an opportunity. So a scope of practice is kind of a description or an outline of what a particular trained individual is able to do. You know, what are their skill sets? What are they able to do? So, I mean, you all, I'm assuming or hoping, I guess, that you've heard of a scope of practice before in our profession, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, there's a document,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. So what do you know about it? Sorry, I can't help it. I'm going into teacher mode. This is what I do in my classrooms.
Well, I know that's what we use when we design our CMTE courses. They have to be based on the learning objectives in the scope of practice. Is that right?
Mm-hmm, that's correct. So that document is the CBMT scope of practice. And it is the result. It's a really important, actually a vital part of CBMT certification programs. It's the result. It's a document that's created every 5 years. It's based on a practice analysis process, which is where certificants are assessed every 5 years, are given a survey. And from that survey emerges what are board certified music therapists doing right now. And so that document changes every 5 years to reflect current practice. So that is what, like, all the continuing ed, the learning objectives are tied to, because they reflect current practice. It's what the board certification exam is written to, because anybody who holds the MTBC credential should be able to do everything on that list. And that's really all it is, right? It's a list. That document is still really important. And CBMT just last year conducted a practice analysis, and it created this document that is going to be effective in April, but it's not going to be called the CBMT scope of practice. What we have learned from the state recognition plan, you know, when you file legislation, what state governments, what state legislators and agency officials look to is, what is your scope of practice? Especially when you have licensure legislation that's really closely tied to a profession's scope of practice. And the CBMT document, because it's, again, just a laundry list of items that a board-certified music therapist should be able to do, it was confusing to most people. It didn't function as a tool that we could use when talking about music therapy and trying to explain to the layperson what it is and what we do. And so we went through this CBMT and AMTA, went through a process last year where we worked together. We had a scope of practice work group, and we created jointly a new document. And this scope of music therapy practice, it is a more narrative form. It describes all aspects of what a music therapist should do. It describes our education and clinical training. It describes what music therapy is. It describes potential for harm if somebody's not trained appropriately. It talks about our certification and recertification requirements. It's about a 3 or 4 page, it's going to be a 4 page document. And it's just, it's beautiful. I gotta say, when you read it, it's really clear and clean. The music therapists that worked on this just did a spectacular job in accurately describing what a music therapist does, what our profession is.
Kimberly, I just went to the CBMT website, and it looks like it's up. This is a document I've never seen before. So,
Really?
So check it out. Yeah.
It's there?
Scope of Music Therapy Practice 2015.
Oh.
It's got a preamble, statement of purpose. This looks nice. I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yay, it's up here. And so then you'll also see, remember I talked about that laundry list of items that, you know, is a really important document for CBMT certification programs?
Mm-hmm.
That's now called the CBMT Board Certification Domains.
Ah, I see it there.
Yep. So it's right there. So when you write to the learning objectives, that document is effective in April. When you write to the learning objectives, say with CMTE courses, they're going to relate to the board certification domains.
Very cool.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Oh,
I can't
so
wait
excited.
To read this.
We will definitely. Saturday morning reading. Yeah. So that's, so Michelle, does that help?
It does. It helps a lot. And now I am just as geeked out and excited as you to read it.
I'm pretty geeked out about it. Can you tell? When I describe a document as beautiful, I mean, really.
But it is. I mean, you have to see this. If you're listening.
We put a link in the show notes. It's
yeah. If you're driving, wait. Wait to look at this. But
wait until you get to That's right. That's right. Oh, that's fantastic. I'm looking at it now, too. Well, and actually, there's also going to be a pretty version. So this is the document. This is the text. But there's going to be a pretty version that it's actually, it's really cool because it includes the colors. I saw a mock-up of it. It includes both organizations' logos, AMTA and CBMT. It brings in the color schemes from both of the logos, and it's pretty.
Cool.
Yeah.
So this came out of a learning and growing opportunity for really our profession, right? Because we were coming up against resistance in trying to obtain licensure. Is that right?
Yeah, and just a lot of confusion, and it just wasn't the CBMT scope of practice that was dated 2010. That's one of the ways we're differentiating to help eliminate confusion. So the 2010 CBMT scope of practice it was hard for non-music therapists to understand. And so it was resulting in a lot of confusion when it came to our state recognition efforts and our just general education and advocacy efforts. Mm-hmm. So, and I can read, I'm going to read now the there's an official statement from AMTA and CBMT about it. It goes, as the profession of music therapy has been moving forward with recognition at the state level, it has been identified that a document was needed to reflect a similar format to other healthcare professional organizations' scopes of practice. CBMT and AMTA worked together to create a scope of music therapy practice 2015 for the profession based on published documents from both organizations. This new document, entitled Scope of Music Therapy Practice 2015, is available as an educational tool and legislative support document that broadly defines the range of responsibilities of a fully qualified music therapy professional with requisite education, clinical training, and board certification. So that's kind of the official description.
Very cool. So how might... I mean, I think this is obviously really interesting for our profession, but how might someone who's not necessarily involved in licensure activities use this document?
That is a great question. Any sort of educational opportunity. So say you are trying to pitch a new program or you're trying to build your client base, this document provides a really extensive overview of what music therapy is and what it takes to be a music therapist. So any sort of, again, educational or advocacy related, it doesn't have to be legislative at all. Any educational opportunity. So you have a booth at some sort of fair or conference, you can have copies of this scope of practice available. And you can also use, when you're writing up, say, descriptions on websites or like you're creating a brochure or something like that, you can also use some of this language when, say, defining music therapy. You just have to, you know, cite it. A lot of people, say, use AMTA's definition. You know, that's still there. CBMT has a definition of music therapy. And then there's also this one here, too.
Okay.
Yeah. Any other questions?
I really need to think about it.
I know.
Yeah.
I need to digest all of this.
Process. I know. I've been in this for months now. Yeah, it's really just the group that worked on this. There was a 12-person work group, and there are some spectacular music therapists. And I'm proud of this document. I think it accurately reflects practice as it stands now. And it's something that is going to be revised as needed, or revised, I think, about every 5 years. That's not quite set yet, but it'll be revised periodically again to reflect current practice because our profession continues to grow and evolve. Just like we do when we turn challenges into opportunities for growth. So this document, it's the direct result of using some of the challenges that we faced when it came to our state recognition efforts and using it as an opportunity to create this document, to create this scope. But this concept of transforming challenges to opportunities, we've all experienced that in some ways, as you can tell from the stories that we shared on this episode. We'll be talking more about this topic over on our premium website, musictherapypro.com, where we will also be sharing how we stay sane when faced with challenges. This pro conversation is only available to our pro community, who also have access to a members-only forum, resource lists, videos, exclusive podcasts, and discounts with select members. CMTE courses are also available to community members at no additional charge. At Music Therapy Pro, we've done the hard work already. Now we're sharing our secrets with you. Join the community at www.musictherapypro.com. This month's Cool Resource of the Month is related to the Social Media Advocacy Month. There is a website, and we'll put the link in the show notes, but it's musictherapystaterecognition.blogspot.com. And this website is kind of the hub where all of these social media advocacy-related blog posts and podcast episodes are posted. And I'm also really excited because I was able to add in the websites and the information from previous Social Media Advocacy Month projects. So you'll see that there's a page now for the 2012 project, the 2013 project, the 2014 project, and all of those link to all these really fabulous music therapy blogs and podcasts and the great content that was created by the music therapy social media community. So check it out.
And we'd like to give a huge shout out to our Pro Perk partners. Music Therapy Pro members receive discounts on products and services from Bear Paw Creek, Metro Music Therapy's paper, music therapy ebooks, music therapy mailings, Wholesome Harmonies Music Therapy, A Perfect Lullaby, Boom Totes, Listen and Learn, and the Music Therapy Maven. Thank you all for your support.
Thank you for joining us. To see the show notes, go to www.musictherapyroundtable.com. If you like this podcast, take your skills to the next level by joining the Music Therapy Pro community. For only $17 per month, you will get unlimited access to CMTEs, in-depth clinical skills podcasts, and other invaluable resources designed to empower you to take charge of your personal and professional growth.